Good evening. This is Tuesday, October 10th, 28 days until the 2006 midterm elections. And if Karl Rove has a magic trick up his sleeve, some sort of October surprise just waiting to be sprung upon the electorate in the final 4 weeks of the campaign, tick, 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 tick. Our fifth story on the countdown, the Republican sex scandal and the war in Iraq alienating the electorate from Congress and President Bush to such an extent that, for the first time, Americans now believe the Democrats are more capable of protecting Americans against terrorism than are the Republicans. We begin with the latest on the sex scandal and its purported cover-up. Mr. Rove himself conceding in a private briefing heard by the Los Angeles Times that the Foley matter, quote, complicates things for Republicans. Does not take a boy genius to know that is an understatement. House Speaker Hastert today in his home state of Illinois, sacrificing himself for the good of his party? No, silly, sacrificing his staff.
If anybody's found to have hidden information or covered up information, they really should be gone. If they did cover something up, then they should not continue to have their jobs.
No confirmation on whether Speaker Hastert feels he would fall into that category. Meanwhile, in Oklahoma City, the FBI is spending 2.5 hours interviewing Jordan Edmonds, a former House page who may have been on the receiving end of some of Congressman Foley's sexually explicit messages. Support for Republican ethics and leadership eroding fast in those polls. Approval of Congress plunging to its lowest level in more than a decade. 3 in 10 registered voters telling Gallup for USA Today that their representative does not deserve re-election, the highest that number has been since 1994. In the Washington Post poll, 54% saying they trust Democrats more than Republicans to deal with the biggest problems the nation is facing, including terrorism. 47% saying they trust the Democrats to do a better job at handling terrorism. 41% choosing Republicans. A month ago, Republicans had a 7-point lead on that signature issue. And in the New York Times, 47% also believing that the Democrats come closer to sharing their moral values than do the Republicans. And then there is Iraq, compromising not only White House efforts to keep this election focused squarely on national security, but also for President Bush even to be seen as being strong on national security. In the New York Times, approval of Mr. Bush's handling of counterterrorism dropping to 46% from 54% in just the last 2 weeks. Baghdad itself burning tonight, literally a fire breaking out in an ammunition depot at a U.S. base in southern Baghdad, setting off a series of explosions from detonating shells that lit up the night sky in that extraordinary fashion. The U.S. military saying there were no immediate reports of casualties. There were also political fireworks here at home related to this. Senator Olympia Snowe of Maine becoming the second Republican to openly question the Bush administration's strategy in Iraq. Senator Snowe saying today she is deeply disturbed by the increased violence and the Iraqi government's inability to secure its own nation. Quoting from her statement, staying the course is neither an option or a plan. Congress must be willing to reassess and rechart our future military presence in Iraq. And just to add one more festive note, the Associated Press tonight quoting an unidentified official in the Japanese Foreign Ministry, saying tonight, Wednesday morning their time, that his government is checking to see if North Korea has now conducted a second test of a nuclear device. This while Japanese airborne monitoring devices are still trying to establish if the supposed first test over the weekend actually came off as well as the Pyongyang government claims. Back to the politics of all this, foreign and domestic. Now let's call in WashingtonPost.com political reporter Chris Cillissa. Thanks again for your time, Chris.
Thanks for having me, Keith.
Let's begin with the big picture math. How many seats would the Democrats have to win to take back control of the House? And right now, how many do the Republicans think they are going to lose?
Right. If you look at it, it's actually interesting because you only have 15 that they need to take back. And that's not that many. People say, well, 435 are up. 15 is a pretty small percentage. I'm no math major, but I think it's in the single digits in terms of percentages. The problem is that there aren't that many competitive races. There just aren't. The incumbents are very strong. Generally, they raise a lot of money. They've drawn themselves safe districts. So we don't see the kind of competition that a lot of people expect. So 15 is a heavier lift than a lot of people think it is. That said, you take the Foley incident, which has directly endangered his seat, and put two other Florida seats in more jeopardy than they were before. A Pennsylvania seat, Don Sherwood, in a lot of trouble because he acknowledged having an affair with a mistress. The mistress alleged in a lawsuit that he had abused her. Sherwood has denied that. But in the post-Foley climate, most Republicans are saying no chance. Texas 22 down there in Houston, Tom DeLay, a name familiar to most of people, I think, who watch the show. He thought that he could resign his office, move from Texas, and get a new candidate on the ballot. Well, the court said, no, that's not the case. So now Republicans are running a write-in candidate and a woman named Shelley Sekula Gibbs. That's not exactly the name you want when you're running a write-in candidacy. You'd prefer Ben Smith. It's like running Chris Saliza as a write-in. It's not the best strategy. Going to be hard for people to remember that, to get it right, to spell it right, et cetera, et cetera. So you wind up seeing six or seven seats already that if Republicans aren't ceding to Democrats, they're certainly not optimistic about. So you get, now you're talking about, well, can they pick up 8 and 9 seats? It seems a little bit more reasonable.
The math in the Senate is what? This hasn't even been a topic until recently. Do we have a firm idea of,
yes,
of what the Democrats might be able to obtain there?
You're right. It hasn't really been a topic because what they need is 6 seats. And what we've seen for months and months and months is that they have 5 really good chances. They look great in Pennsylvania, where Rick Santorum, the Republican, is really struggling and has for months. They look good in Montana. They look pretty good in Ohio. Ohio is a state where Republicans' name is essentially mud. The outgoing governor, Bob Taft, has a number of ethical problems. Bob Ney, who has now pled guilty and has left Congress, also an Ohio member. So that looks bad. Rhode Island, Lincoln Chafee, a moderate Republican, struggling to win. And Missouri, where Jim Talent, Democrats did a really good job. They got their absolute best candidate, a state auditor named Claire McCaskill. She had run for governor, very popular, very well-liked, polls show it close. So that was 5, and you could say, well, they come up just short. What we've seen in the last couple weeks is 2 more races come online. One is in Virginia, close to where I am, where George Allen just can't seem to get out of his own way lately. It began with Makaka, which I think everyone, it goes without explaining. I think anyone who follows politics knows what we're talking about there. And it's just continued, and you now see polling showing Allen running even with former Neighbor Secretary Jim Webb, the Democrat, and Jim Webb hasn't really done all that much. He just got on TV. The other one is in Tennessee, where Harold Ford Jr., a Democratic congressman, running much stronger than a lot of people thought. So basically, Democrats had no margin for error. Win those 5 seats and hope one of those other ones happens. Now they've got 7 seats. They need to win 6. It's not easy, but it's more plausible.
And to the latest news here, these poll numbers about security and counterterrorism suddenly showing the Democrats not merely viable on these topics, but in many cases significantly ahead of the Republicans in public opinion polling. Now we have these developments in North Korea, this prospect that the Japanese are looking into whether or not there was a second nuclear test by North Korea at some point in the last few hours, although the various seismological institutes are saying that there's no evidence of anything like that. How does North Korea factor into all of our politics suddenly? Is this a positive for the Republicans because it's one of those worry scare issues, or does it play into this apparent development in which Democrats are beginning to register with people that the Republicans have not done that much of a good job in terms of protecting this country internationally or from terrorism?
Right. In theory, it's exactly what you said, that Republicans should be not happy, but certainly glad that the subject might be changed to North Korea, the threat from abroad, that kind of thing. Typically, that's their red meat. That's the one they hit out of the park. If you looked after September 11th and polling in 2002, 2004, at this time before the election, you saw Republicans with double-digit leads on the question of which party you trust more. That lead is gone, as you rightly point out. And the problem there is that if they can't talk about security, it's not clear what Republicans can talk about right now. The president is not popular. The war in Iraq has soured in voters' minds. People don't like the economy. So there's a lot of problems.
No security internationally, domestically, or for House pages. Chris Saliza of The Washington Post, WashingtonPost.com. Great thanks as always.
Thanks, Keith.